You have your part to bring. You have your part to give. God's speaking to you. Because why? Because you're a believer. You're a believer, so God speaks to you on a regular basis. On a regular basis. You know, what's your meditation of? You meditate on the Word of God. You know, I mean, I tell you, you know, we live our lives, you know, no, we're not under the law, but you know, we still live our lives to please God. You know, we're doing our best to walk in love. You know, we're doing our best to show kindness. We're doing our best to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, self-control, you know, kindness, faithfulness. You can all sit down. And I just wanted to throw in a quick plug. The Bible says to honor your mother and your father. Pastor's tied up tonight, and God, and I think God's pleased, so he's doing what he needs to be doing. And that's all I need to say about that. Praise God. Honor your mom and dad. You know, praise God. Because it'll go well with you, and you'll live long on the earth. Hallelujah. And don't matter if you're 50 and your mom's 70, you still honor your mom and dad. You know, praise God. Because the older they get, you'll find out the more they need you. The more they need you. You know, and my goodness, they brought us into the world. They raised us up as kids. I mean, we ought to be indebted, you know, to reach out and show them some care and kindness when they have need. So I had no plan to go this way at all. I have some notes here. But praise God. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I found out late this afternoon. Okay. Well, I didn't have time to study and write a couple pages of notes and stuff, Lord. I mean, so I'm kind of praying about it, and I'm kind of reading. I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? You know? And then when I was praying and getting ready, like I said earlier, I heard him say property. Property. You know, he owns each and every one of you. And he takes care of his possessions, his treasures. The Bible calls you peculiar. I can attest for that. Peculiar treasures. Peculiar treasures. You know, listen, you got to get over offense. Or should I say like this, get off the fence. Because when you're on the fence, you got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot over here in the church. Get off the fence and get over in the church where you belong. Stop being judgmental and critical of others. Please. It's for your own good. Listen, I've gotten to the point where if you judge me, that's up to you. Because I've gotten to the point where I ain't receiving that condemnation. I stand before my Father. He loves me. It's recorded, it's written in his word that he loves me. I choose to believe it. I choose to believe that his blood paid for my sin. I choose to believe that I am justified just as if I never sinned because of his blood. And I work at it. I am not a perfect man. I'm not saying I run around sinning, don't get me wrong. But you know what, a quirk, an attitude, a wrong word, a something here and there, anger rose up, a frustration rose up. Oh, God, I'm trying to stop doing that. You know, I know you don't like it, Father, forgive me. You know, I'm just being rightful, honest with you. I'm not perfect, but I'm aiming towards the prize. I'm aiming towards the bullseye. I want to go where God is. And, you know, and I want to take others there. If God permits, if God wills, I want to take others over into that place of, I don't give a flip what people think about me. My Father loves me. Praise God. So I can be carefree because my Father loves me. If you don't love me, well, you're missing out because I think I'm a pretty good person. Praise the Lord. to my notes here. I do have some. But listen, I love you all. Pastor loves you all, you know, and Pastor wants the very best for each and every member of this congregation. He wants the very best for us. But you know, some of that is up to us. Some of that is up to us. We've got to put down our old ways and take on the form of godliness, keeping our eyes fixed on things which are above, not on things on the earth. You can justify your judgment all you want, but I'll tell you right now, God's not pleased with it. God's not pleased with it. God wants us to walk in love. He can't reach people without us. He needs us. When it says set a fire down in your soul, I mean, my goodness, because God wants to love on everybody else. God doesn't want two or three people sitting at the dinner table. He wants a huge, enormous, abundance of people, so innumerable that they can't be numbered at the banquet when we all go to be with him in the sky. He wants more than what we see in this room right here tonight, I'll tell you that. Praise God. You know, sometimes we're going to have to take courage. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the word of God. Let's turn over to Joshua 1:8, please. I didn't know I was starting there, but I did have that scripture written down. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Because if I live in the condemnation and the guilt of what everybody else thinks of me, I will never make a move for the Heavenly Father. I'll be so concerned and so worried about what everybody else thinks, I'll never do nothing for God because I'll never be good enough in everybody else's eyes. We got to get over that. We got to get over thinking about what the world thinks and what the world wants to label us. Even people around us that we love and care for, they want to label us. They want to make just judgment against us. But God says that he loves us. God says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't receive it. When your relative says something negative or they get a bad attitude because you're not pleasing them just the way they want you to please them and tickle their fancy, but you're doing what God wants you to do, just keep doing what God wants you to do. And don't worry about whether they get their fancy tickled or not. It's not your business to tickle in the first place. I don't know, that may sound kind of odd, but I think you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. You get people who try to put you in your place. They want to set you straight. Well, you know what? My Father sets me straight. And when I'm wrong, trust me, he lets me know. He lets me know it. I'll tell you. Praise God. Joshua 1:8. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my, my. Joshua judges Ruth. Why? I always wondered why he did that. No, I'm just teasing. You know, Joshua judges Ruth. Anyway, you can have fun in church. It's okay. Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua is a good name. Joshua is a good name. Joshua. Joshua is a good name. Amen. Joshua is a good man. Joshua studies the word. Joshua studies the word to show himself. He wants to know. He wants to see. He wants to know. So he has to study so he can know. And I know Joshua. And I know he wants to know. And I know he studies. Okay? And now, you know, I'm not trying to puff him up, but I know him. Listen, that some of the nicest people in the world that I know are my Christian brothers and sisters because they're pursuing the same thing I'm pursuing. We can communicate. We can relate. You know, as long as you're not on the fence. You can't be on the fence. Praise the Lord. And if it's okay, if you're on the fence, God forgives you. Just get off it and get back into his kingdom. Amen. So Joshua 1 and 8. Hallelujah. I'm getting there. I don't want to miss what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Because this service isn't about me ministering to you. I can share what little bit I know knowledge-wise, but unless the Holy Ghost wants to minister to you, I don't really, I don't feel adequate. But because I choose to follow God, he says, I'll take care of the rest of that for you. So, praise God. Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, wait a minute. You mean I have to do something? This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, for then, that you may observe, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So when you're doing all that you know to do, listen, a lot of people know to do, but they're not doing. And they're wondering why the blessing's not flowing. You know, that's, they call a sin of commission and sin of omission. Sin of commission was, I got frustrated and I got angry at the dog. Oh, man. But sin of commission is knowing what to do and not doing it. Knowing to keep your mouth shut when you shouldn't be running it. Knowing to stop that gossip. Stop that criticizing. Stop that judging. God didn't call you to be the judge of the world. Even Jesus said, don't think that I've come here to judge the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Let's walk in love. That's the key. Walk in love. And I mean, I'm talking even people that are close to you. And it hurts the most. Because you love them the most. You know? You love them so much. And you just want to shake them sometimes. But sometimes you just got to, Lord, I just got to keep walking to you. That's going to get me down if I meditate and I dwell on that. That's going to discourage me. I just got to let it go. Lord, I trust them into your care. I let you take care of that, Father. I give it to you, Lord. I'm doing all I know to do. God knows that. So he'll take care of the other little things. And I have to trust him for that. Sometimes I so much want to get in his way and be the Holy Spirit. See, now this is what you got to do, Ricky. You come right over here. I want you to, but I can't do that. He might not like that. But you get my drift. You can't force him to do anything. You can't force him. You can preach the love walk all you want, but they have a choice. The sin of omission and the sin of commission. You have a choice. And it's not multiple choice. I get to walk in love with Ricky, but I don't like Steve tonight. No, I love you, Steve. But, you know, it's not a choice, folks. Practice your love walk with everybody. With everybody. And it's not always going to be easy. It's not. Let's be honest about that. Okay, Lord. anyway. Okay, for then you will make your way prosperous. What happened? They meditated on the word. They meditated on it to the point where they were observing it and doing all that it said to do. And then what came? Prosperity. You know, it's not a get fix quick microwave mentality in the church. I put $20 in the offering and I didn't receive anything back. I'm not putting anything else in that. I don't believe it works. Well, then you just said it. You just said it. It don't work. It don't work for you. It works for me. It works for me. Praise God. You got to, your words, that little thing that kindles a fire right in below your nose and up above your chin there, that'll set a forest ablaze. You be careful with that thing. You know, and the Bible says that no man can tame the tongue. You think you're going to tame your tongue in the flesh? Think again. Think again. You might be able to do good and put on a show for people out and about, but when it hits close to home, how's your tongue behaving? Yeah. They always said that the family was the training ground. Woo! Training ground. Siblings, relatives, aunts, uncles. That's the training ground sometimes. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I know what that's written in there, Lord. Praise God. Okay, I see it. I see it. I know everything's in here. So, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Good success. Good success. Listen, how far do you see yourself going? Do you limit yourself? God doesn't limit us. We limit ourselves. Listen, God gave us an imagination. He gave it to us. So you got to see yourself doing the things you desire, doing the things that you want, having the things that you want. See yourself having them. But back up, you know, because you can't have that microwave mentality. Back up, meditate on his word that you may observe to do. You ain't gonna observe to do it if you're not meditating on it. Did you see that in there? He says, keep it before your eyes. Meditate on it, so then you'll observe it. Observe to do all that is according, is written in it. You got to observe it, meditate on it, and do it. And then you will make your way. I chose to believe God for salvation. And I choose to believe that if I meditate on the word of God, my way will be made prosperous, and I will have good success. I don't choose to believe one part of the Bible and not the other. I choose to believe that I have a part to play in what I receive from the Lord. And my part is to be obedient to all that I know to do. Don't tell me there's no requirements in Christianity. There is. There's spiritual laws that are set in place. And if you go around breaking them spiritual laws all the time, you ain't casting out devils. Your way probably isn't going to be prosperous. You're probably going to be walking in turmoil and strife and all kinds of anxieties and things that God never intended you to walk in or to have in the first place. The book is written for us because he loves us so much. He wants us to have a peaceful life. He says in John, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus. I believe in God. Well, believe in Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the only way to the Father. So you believe in God? Well, believe in Jesus. I invite you to believe in Jesus. I believe in God. Well, I invite you to believe in Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by and through him. So Jesus, what do you mean? What about this Jesus? Well, let me tell you something about this Jesus, okay? This Jesus was in the beginning. This Jesus was with God. This Jesus was God. And this Jesus came and dwelt among us in the flesh. So what is Jesus to us? He's the Word of God. Meditate, keep this word, meditate in this word, Keep this word before your eye gates daily. Keep it in your heart. Think about it. Guard your heart. Think about this word. Practice these things. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The word is the only thing that's going to make a difference in my life. I came from a place, and I don't glorify the devil. That's not my testimony. You know what my testimony is today? Jesus and him crucified. That's my testimony, what he did for me. Not all the screw-ups that I did in the past. My testimony is, am I walking with him today? Am I pleasing the Father today? Why would I want to glorify the devil? I don't. I want to glorify my Father in heaven. I want to walk with him, and I want him to be well pleased with me. And in Isaiah, I believe, I think I'm done in Joshua 1:8. I want to see if I can find that scripture really quick, and I'll try not to take too long. It's in Isaiah. I know we don't like downtime, but just give me a minute, please. Is it okay, well, we'll get back to it. It talks about going through the gates. I'm not going to take the time to look for it right now. It says, go through those gates that others will be able to come to. You know, what did Jesus say to Peter? What is it? 62:10. Isaiah 62:10. Thank you. Isaiah 62. I want to actually put my eyes on that, because they keep the word before your eyes, before your eye gates. Keep the word before your eye gates. So I want to actually put my eyes on that scripture. Ah. 62:10. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, take out the stones, and lift the banner for the peoples. We're lifting up the name of Jesus. If you believe in God, believe also in me, says the word. Jesus, the word, you can't separate the two are the same. You got to believe this word. If you don't believe this word, when the devil comes knocking on your door, you can't talk to him in doubt, and you can't talk to him in fear. You got to talk to him with authority. He says, no, wait a minute. You've been defeated. Jesus whipped, stripped, and made a spectacle of you. Dragged you up and down the streets of hell and said, hey, see my trophy? I beat him up. He's all done. I stripped him, took the keys back from him. He got no power. I got the power. I got the power. Jesus said, I got the power. And he gave it to the church. He gave it to the church. And where I was going with this was, Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he said to them, he says, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Well, some say that you were Elijah, and some say, one thing or another, the prophet. And Jesus said, but who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say he is? I say he's the Son of the living God. And he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. My Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. Whew. 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 And on this rock, not Peter, on that revelation, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's time for the church to storm the gates of hell. And like we just read in Isaiah 62, let's read it again. Go through. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Why would he say the gates of hell shall not prevail? Were the gates keeping something back from the church? Yes, they were. Revelation knowledge. Understanding of who we are, that we have authority. The devil don't want you to know we have authority in Christ. You've got to go through the gate to take authority over him. We got to go through the gates. We got to go through those gates of hell. They shall not prevail against us. When the enemy comes knocking on your door, just remember that scripture. The gates of hell ain't going to prevail against me. My God has taken and whipped him and took the authority away from him, and he's given that authority to me. And devil, you got no place around here. Who are you trying to come around my house? And then run him off. Tell him he got no place in your life. Because I'm telling you, he's going to come around and try to get in. He's going to. But you got to know who you are in Christ so you can take your authority over him. And sometimes taking that authority is just walking on by. Walking on by. God wants you to enjoy life. Didn't he say that you might have life and that you might enjoy it? Walking on. Don't take that care. Don't take it. Walk on by. Walk on by that thing that devil's saying to you. Walk on by it. Just know who you are. Straight your stuff. You're a child of the King. You're a child of the Most High God. Pick your head up. Take your place. Take your position in him. Because he loves you. You're his possession. You're his treasure. He loves you. He loves me. And I don't care what the world says to me. My God says. My God says. I choose to believe. Whose report will you believe? Well, we always use that about healing, but I'll tell you, the whole world's trying to tell you that you're less than who you are, and, you know, who do you think you are, and, oh, my goodness, you know, do you really believe that stuff? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because why? Because I choose to. You're right. It comes down to a choice. But with that choice, there comes confirmation. There comes evidence. You'll see things that the world can't see. Even Jesus said that your eyes will see things that even, oh, I don't want to say it wrong, that others have longed to see, but they've not been able to see them. Because he's only revealed them unto his church, under his body. Listen, a few weeks back, I had taken up the offering, and I was stirring in the spirit, and I was talking about doing laundry. You know, I don't know if some of you here might remember that, and that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, Ephesians 5:7. You know, some people, you know, not any of you, but some people, they think, well, I received Jesus, I don't have to do anymore. Really? You think that's the truth? I think you need to open up your Bible and see what it says in there about what God expects of us to do, what our part is. You can't go around running your mouth like a truck driver, tearing people down, cutting people up. Well, I just think that person's of the devil. Oh, really? Do you know the devil that well? Do you know the devil that well? Do you know that? I mean, my goodness. You've been in his camp too long if you know him that well. Jesus didn't have much communication with him. He told him to shut up and come out. He didn't sit down and have a conversation with him. They knew who he was, though. Oh, thou art the Son of... Have you come to cast us out before? They knew who he was. And they know who you are. That's why you got to hold your head up in confidence and don't let the world take away from you what God has made available to you and given to you. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are a prize and a treasure to him. And he'd do anything for you. Anything. All things are possible to him who believes. Meditate on it. Get it in your heart. Dare to believe him. Because the world's going to fight you on this. The world's going to fight you on it. They're going to try to disqualify, discredit, disprove all those diss things. Well, the only diss I think about is the devil's been disarmed. He's been defeated. He's been dethroned. So I can stand up here with my head held up high because of the love that God has for me. And I'm not better than any one of you. I know God loves me. And he loves all of us the same. And we all have a ministry. We all have a ministry. You know, that ministry is nothing more than compassion in operation. Compassion in operation. How many times you go through the Gospels, how many times does it say that he was moved with compassion? He had such a love for people. It moved him. When they're wrong, he still loved them. He still loved them. He says, I didn't come to judge them. I still love them. I'm trying to lead them to the Father. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to lead them to the Father. Listen, you have a purpose, and that's to lead others to the Father. But with that purpose comes, I'm being considerate of the time, but with that purpose comes epistles again. And forgive me for not really being able to say this address and this scripture. I'm so sorry for that. I do know the word. I've studied it and read it many, many times. And but it talks about the hardworking farmer. And you're all familiar with the scripture. The hardworking farmer must be the first one to partake of the fruits. If you ain't partaking, there's no need for you to be out there ministering. Because you're probably causing more turmoil than you are good. Partake of his love for you. Know who you are in him first. Meditate in his word. You want to make your way successful? Know who you are in him. Know how much he loves you. Know how precious you are in his sight. Know that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Know that he's not up in heaven judging you. Remember, the Bible says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses them day and night before the Father. Oh, what a dumb devil. He's already defeated, and he still tries to accuse us to the Father. He doesn't think the Father knows any better, I guess. The Father knows. Oh, he's a liar. The father of lie. He doesn't know how to do anything else but lie. And he lies to people, mostly folks, through deception. Well, I'm justified to feel that way about that person. Well, you're being deceived. You're being deceived. I'm sorry, it's sad. There's people that ought to be here tonight that aren't. Because I'm not speaking this out of my head. My heart is grieved. My heart is breaking for people. Because I see people that they need to grow up. They need to mature. They need to take the word of God at face value and start putting it into practice in their lives. And it's people that I love dearly. Again, I'll say it again. I'm not perfect, but I'm aiming towards it. I'm practicing it. I'm walking in it the best of my ability. Jeremiah 29:11, please. You know, when I read the Word of God, and I've read it and read it and read it, and Now, it's like I can hardly get through a few passages. You know, sometimes a chapter, but I mean, I am so dissecting and meditating and trying to put myself in the Word. Well, how does this apply in my life? How does this apply in my life? Remember, if I ain't partaking of the goodness of God, I got no business trying to give it to somebody else. I've got to be a witness, meaning, you know, I'm walking with Him and people see some type of fruit. And I mean, hopefully, people see some fruit. Praise the Lord. But Jeremiah 29:11 is another scripture that, and this was recently within the last year, and I've read through this a few times, but and I've heard it preached quite a few times. But what I heard this summer was I haven't really heard it preached. And I said, wow, that just, wow. The secret things belong to the Lord. But He reveals things to His servants. To His servants. To those who are serving Him. Those who are going to put it to His purpose. Those who are going to use it for His will, for His purpose. Not for my purpose, not for my will, but for His purpose. And He will reveal things to His servants, the ones who are serving Him. And Jeremiah 29:11 starts off, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And I would say that we should stop right there for a minute and meditate on that just for a minute. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." God's talking to us. God, you got to see, God's talking to you. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Cheryl. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Cheryl, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope." What are those thoughts? They're good thoughts. And if you want to know, you got to get in the Word and find out what those thoughts are, what God thinks towards us. It says His thoughts towards us are more numerous than the sand on the sea. It says that He knows, and you've all heard these scriptures, listen, that He knows the very number of the hairs on our heads. They're all numbered. He knows exactly how many's there. And even when some fall out in the shower, he makes the deductions. But some grow back, so He's got to add on again. He knows. He knows how many. Listen, that's how. Listen, you think about the old covenant, and the specific instructions that He gave Moses to build the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the showbread and the table and the altar and the bronze ladles and the gold vessels and all the different things and the angels. How precise, how much detail that God put into this. God is a precise God. He's very detailed. He's very detailed. Very, very detailed God. It's specific instructions. And listen, we all have them. And it's different for every one of us. We all receive specific instructions on a regular basis. Go here, go there, take this job, don't go to the store now, go, okay, do this, all right, you, whatever it is. because we still live on this earth and we still function in the natural, even though we're spirit beings, we're born again. This Bible is a pamphlet, a booklet of instructions to help us through our walk on this earth while we're here, to fulfill the purpose of why we're here. And Pastor handed out those cards on Sunday, and everybody wrote down different things, and they were all very good things. But I like it because God created us because it pleasured him, because he desired it. I'm going to come back to Jeremiah 29. Let's go over to Proverbs for a minute, and I think it's 28. Just bear with me a second. Lord, is it 28? No, it's not 28. I was daily with the Lord as a master builder, and truly my delight was with, here we go, right here. It's in that chapter 8 of Proverbs. let's start in verse 30, please. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. God takes delight in us that are purposing to walk with him. God takes delight in us. He delights in us. It brings him pleasure. It brings him joy. He delights in us. Okay, back to Jeremiah. I just want to touch on that quickly. because. Because I got the microphone. I don't know. Anyway. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's find out what God's thoughts are towards us. Let's find out how much he loves us. Because then, you know what it'll do? It's going to build your confidence. It's going to build your confidence, and then you will call upon me. Woo! When that confidence is built up, yeah. Boy, my God loves me, thinks about me all the time. Whew. Man, he'd move mountains just to get to me. My goodness. Then, when I'm confident and knowing that God loves me, then I'm going to call upon him in confidence. Then you will call upon me and you go and pray, and I'll listen to you. Why is he going to listen to you? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Where'd your faith come from? You're in the Word. You know, faith is a substance of hope. The Word gave you some hope. Then hope became substance. Faith. So you became confident in the Word, because you can only become confident by knowing that it's true. By knowing that his thoughts towards you are more numerous than the sand on the seashore. Knowing that he loves you, and he has thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You got to know these things. So that when you go to him, you can go confidently, knowing that he will hear me and he will listen to me. And he goes on to say, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. I believe I want to go to 1 John chapter 5, and I'm very cautious of the time there. I'm watching it closely. 1 John, I believe, chapter 5. I'll let you know as soon as I get there. Yes, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And we've been talking about God's nature, knowing that you belong to him, you're his property, he takes care of things that belong to him. He's a good steward with his things, with his children. It says, and because you've spent time meditating on the word, you've spent time getting to know God's nature. See, people read one scripture and say, well, why ain't that working for me? Because there's a whole book there to read. You know, you ain't going to get what you need out of one verse. There's a whole lot of other things that go with that one verse. There's, let's say it this way. There's probably a whole lot of things that come before that verse. Because where's your confidence going to come from? It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What's his will? His will is love, 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 and love. His will is love. If it's good for you, if he wills it for you, because it's good for you, he knows what's good for us. The Bible says he knows the things that we have need of before we even ask him. The things that we need. The things that we need. The things that we need. Don't always line up with what I think I need. He knows the things I need even before I ask him. See, God, listen, I am not... God forbid that I would ever try to stand up here and make God out to be a liar. Because I would not do that. If God says it is true, maybe I haven't got the revelation on it, maybe I haven't seen it, but that doesn't change the fact that it's truth. And I'm standing behind the truth. If I have to, I'll stand on it until I see it. I haven't seen it all, but I've seen more than I have when I started. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, oh, ho, ho, if we know that he hears us, maybe he's only hearing us when we're praying according to his will. Aha, ever think about that one? Just a thought. So we won't spend any time there, but... If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And it's going to come through obedience. Let's call it like it is, folks. It's obedience. Rebellion ain't going to get you anywhere. If you're rebelling against the word of God, it ain't going to get you anywhere. And not only is it not going to get you anywhere, you've got to be really careful when you're in rebellion. Because Samuel said that the spirit of rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft. So now, what's witchcraft? That is a deception. That will deceive you. That'll show you things that you want to see and make you think you're right. You be careful with rebellion. Rebellion is a dangerous place to be. Because rebellion can really be deceptive. Oh, I have a right to think this. You don't have any rights. You deserve death. Jesus took on your death. What rights do you have? Besides, you're dead. You're dead to self. And Galatians 2 and 20, it says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Consider yourself dead to the flesh. Praise the Lord. Sometimes our flesh will speak to us. I'm sure I can probably speak to everybody in this room about this sometimes. Sometimes your flesh, you get a little, I said, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off me, devil. Sometimes you're walking some of that stuff out. Don't think the devil ain't going to test you. That devil ain't going to try you. He wants to know what you believe. Listen, all of creation is groaning within themselves to see the sons of God revealed. The devil wants to know too. Yeah, do you really think so? Do you really believe that authority stuff? Do you really believe that Jesus stuff? Come on. Yeah, come on. It's that you can just take that little oomph. Don't you think you should go to the doctor? Yeah, maybe you should go to the doctor. I'm not saying, I don't want to get over here because, listen, I don't want to be the cause of somebody not going to the doctor when you need to. If you need to go to the doctor, please go to the doctor. But I know I wore off things in my flesh. I do. I'm just being honest with you. Aches, pains, different things. No, devil. No. I don't receive that. Whom's report will I believe? I believe the report of the Lord, that he bore my griefs and my sorrows. I'm telling you, every sickness and disease out there in this world can be tied into griefs and sorrows. Take your position. Get rid of the grief. Get rid of the sorrow. Know who you are in him and take your position. Walk confidently with your head held high, knowing that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God and how much he loves you. Very, 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 very. I was telling God, I said, but God, you love them more than I do. How can I love them as much as you do? Yeah, I was talking about y'all. He does. He loves y'all. So did we finish Jeremiah 29:11? I think we did. Okay. Let me see if I got. I think. Hallelujah. I was going to say one more scripture, but it has to be two to finish. I'm sorry. Because I can't really use one without the other one. Mark 12 and 29. I love Mark. One of the shortest gospels, but man, he gets right to the point. It's one of the books I've enjoyed. So Mark 12 and 29. I'll turn over there for a second. I promise to have you out of here in 2 minutes. Jesus answered him. Oh, okay. Well, I have to back up because you got to know what he answered. Then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment of all? The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Listen, the Bible talks about, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I purpose to hear when I read the word, when I'm sitting out there where you are, listening to pastor teach. I'm telling you, pastor is gifted to teach. I've been in a lot of churches, and I've had this conversation with Pastor John. That man is gifted to teach. He can sift through some things in the word that really brings a clear understanding in a lot of areas. And I've been around for a while. He's definitely got a true compassion for teaching. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Purpose to hear him. If you don't know any scriptures and you don't know the addresses and you don't know where, just purpose to hear him. Because until you purpose to hear him, you can't go on. You got to stop right there in that verse. You can't go any further. Hear. Because it says, and. a kind of a conjunction word there. It kind of adds. It's like you've already done something first. Now you can do something else. Now you can add to it. And you shall love the Lord your God. You can't love him if you don't know him. You can't love him if you don't hear him. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart, with all your soul. And you know, I can't imagine how God feels sometimes when he looks down in the earth and sees his children living like the world and confessing to be Christians. How it must break his heart. Listen, I purpose to walk and please God. I'm not perfect, but my life is all about him. I purpose to please him on my job site, at the gas station, at the grocery store, wherever I go, at home. Am I perfect? No. But my purpose is there, the purpose to do his will and to do what's pleasing to him. Love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. One scripture that always stands out is that, how can, and this would be God talking, how can you say you love me whom you can't see, and you don't love your brother whom you can see? Don't tell me you love me if you're not walking in love. Don't tell me you love me if you're not walking in love. I'm just telling you what he said. You think love isn't important to him? Open your Bible up. It's a love letter to each and every one of us. Okay, well, I told you one more, and that's it. Mark 16, 17. And there's a purpose for ending this way. And the Lord will reveal that to you soon. Amen. Mark 16 and 17. First and foremost, Pastor John is my pastor. And I'm not your pastor. And I'm not trying to be your pastor. I'm filling in for the man of God who asked me to fill in tonight. And I hope and believe that the Lord was able to share some insight, revelation, and knowledge to y'all through coming out. Because you made a commitment to be here. You drove out. You came from some of you from distances. You know, some of you, you know, I mean, pulled yourself away from other things you could have been doing. But you came out. God loves you for that. And it may not seem like a big deal, but I'm telling you, it is to him. It is to him. And I've had a real busy, busy summer. And I've been working way past dark, 7 days a week. And I haven't been here a lot of Wednesdays as of late. But I know I need to be here on Wednesdays. You know, I'm trying to tell on myself, I need to slow down. I'm working harder than I should be at 56 years old. I'm not in my 20s any longer. And I find myself sometimes doing these jobs, and I'm go, 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 go. And when I get done, I'm like, my flesh is speaking to me and everything. But it's all because I'm not 29. I think like I am, but I'm not. And my body needs a little bit of a break. Take it a little bit easier on yourself. I'm just trying to tell on myself here, but anyway, that's, I don't know. That was a side trip. Okay, Mark 16 and 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will tell the devils to shut up. Shut up. He's going to come and talk to you. You got authority to tell them to shut up. People think that that's, pretend Ricky's down here laying on the floor squealing and bawling. He's full of dings. Just pretend it's not real, Ricky. He's, yeah, all right. Come out of him in the name of Jesus, that devil. Okay, that's good. You do have that authority. But come on, folks. You're looking for the big lights and the big, you know, fly in the pan, so to speak. But you got to talk to devils in your own life. I'm telling you, they come around. They're going to try to criticize you. They're going to try to cast judgment on you, put weariness on you, put anxiety on you and stress on you. And you got to hold your head up high and say, devil, you're a liar. I'm a child of the King. He loves me. That's casting out devils just like it is if we saw that thing up here. I won't mention it again, but if we saw that thing up here and we said, come out of him in the name of Jesus. It's the same thing. Speak to them devils. Speak to them devils. Tell them to shut up. If it don't line up with God's word, if it ain't good, it ain't God. If it don't line up with God's word. Anyway, so these signs will follow them who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Again, don't read through these scriptures too fast. They will speak with new tongues. Yeah, I really, truthfully, 100 holy heart percent pray in tongues, believe in praying in tongues, believe it's a gift from God, pray in tongues often. But I'm going to tell you, there's more to the scripture than just that. I don't talk the way I used to. I got a new tongue. My tongue's not full of gossip. My tongue's not cutting people down. My tongue's not judging people. Why? Because I know that's not pleasing to my Father. My Father loves them. They're his possessions. They're his property. They're his treasures. And so they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, again, dealing with the devils. You have authority over them. It's telling you, you have authority over devils that come messing around your doorway. Cast them out, get rid of them. Yeah, the devil's going to come. Listen, I was just telling you that. You know, my body will start speaking to me. Shut up, devil. Shut up. You lying serpent, get out of here. You're a snake. You're under my feet. Remember, you eat the dust of the ground. You're going to crawl on the belly of the earth. Yeah, you devil. You're beneath, not above. I'm above, not beneath. I'm above, not beneath. You're beneath. I'm above. Get in your place. Get back where you were supposed to be. Under my feet. And if they should drink any deadly thing, it by no means harm them. Okay, again, don't read through that too fast. Don't read through that too fast. If they should drink any deadly thing, it should by no means harm them. You know the word of God. You meditated on the word of God. You meditated on the point so that you're observant to do according to all that's written in it, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. No, we're not arrived, but we'll work. That's where we're aiming for. So you've done all that. Then you pick up a book written by an author you don't really know. And you start reading it. It's like, ew. Ew. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not mean any means harm them. Ew, that's not truth. That's not the water of God's word. That's not the truth at all. I personally can tell you, there's been two or three books that I picked up in my life and put them down. I get into them. I say, you know, and to me, listen, maybe I'm just too hard. Maybe I'm just too overprotective of my spirit. I don't think so. But when I hear them say something in the book, it can be one thing. It turns me off. I'm sorry. If you're writing a book, publicizing it for people to hear and to read, it better be 100% Holy Ghost led, or I don't want it. That's just me personally. Now I know they say, Well, you got to learn to chew the hay and spit out the sticks. Well, I'm not going to put the sticks in my mouth or in my ears or in my eye gates. I'm not putting the sticks in there, period. I know the difference between hay and sticks because I've been in the Word of God and I know the difference. And I ain't eating the sticks. I'm not chewing on them for a minute. Yeah. And they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not God's will for anybody in the church to be sick. And I think, you know, for the most part, you know, in James, it talks about I don't get up here very often, folks. Give me one more scripture, please, and I promise. James chapter 1. I didn't get out to you by 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. Please, I come to you and I ask your forgiveness. Please forgive me for going past 8 o'clock. I'm so sorry. But James chapter 5, just this is important because the Holy Ghost just brought it to my attention. Going along with, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I really want to bring this out because I just feel this is so important for all of us. I don't want to miss something that the Holy Ghost wants to say here tonight because God loves you. And he wants to say this next thing that I'm about to say to you. And I know you know this, but, you know, faith comes by hearing and by hearing by the Word of God. It didn't come because I heard it. Oh, I heard that preach last week. Oh, so what? You just heard it again. Glean from it. Chew on it. There's something in it for you if God's saying it again. James in chapter 5. Let's start out in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he had committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Elijah was a man just like us. He had the same nature as we have, with a nature like ours. And he prayed. He prayed how? Earnestly. He prayed from his whole heart. He was praying with compassion. Why? Because he wanted his daddy revealed. He wanted his daddy revealed. You know, they were preaching demonic stuff and Balaam's doctrine and all other kinds of stuff, but he wanted his daddy revealed. And you guys all know the story, how he said, told him, go ahead, sacrifice to your God, cry out to him and have him burn up this offering. And, you know, and their God never showed up. And he ends up, he digs this big mold around his fire and he soaks the wood and he puts the water all around it. Yeah, and he was moving with compassion, though. Everything he did it because of compassion. He did it because he wanted them to get it. This, listen, this is my God. This is the only way this can be done is because God, my God. He believed and walked and loved his God so much, he wanted to brag on him. He wanted to show him to these people that were serving the devil and Satan himself. He said, no, this, listen, okay, go ahead, call on your God. Call on him, let's see what he does. Maybe he's sleeping, maybe he didn't hear you. Could you raise your voice, talk a little louder. He was kind of funning with him, but he was still moving with compassion. He was still trying to get his point across. That's not a God. That's nothing more than an idol. There's only one God. And one Holy Spirit. And one Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And one Word of God. There's not five or six different books. There's one book. It's the Word of God. Whether you got a King James or a Message Bible, or what, it's the Word of God. In closing, I'm just going to pray. And then if anybody would like to be prayed over, you know. Listen, God put me up here. And if he didn't think I was qualified to pray for people, I don't think he would have called me up here to begin with. Plus, I'm a believer. And the Bible says, because I believe, these signs will follow. So if anybody needs prayer, in closing, I'm more than happy to pray with you, get in agreement with you. The Bible says, if any two of you shall agree on anything as touching heaven, it shall be done for you by my Father. So prayer of agreement. And praise the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. I so thank you from the bottom of my heart, Father. I pray, Lord, that everything went according to as you would have had it gone tonight, Lord. And Father, where it came off a little tough, Lord, I believe it was a tough love, Father. Some things were spoken, Lord, about judging and criticizing, Father. I was not directing that to anybody here, Lord. And I know we all have situations like that in our lives, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you just help us to know, Lord, that those are just those little harassing imps that try to distract us and keep us from where we're going in life. So we keep our focus on you, Lord. As it says in 2 Chronicles 29:14, the eyes of our Lord, our God, are always looking around. He's always watching to see whose hearts are true, whose hearts are stayed on him. Not Sunday morning, not for an hour this week, but as your heart stayed on him continually. We thank you for helping us in these areas, helping us to recognize it when we miss it, Lord, that we'd be quick to repent and get back on track, Father. And repenting is nothing more than a change of direction. Oop, I'm not supposed to be going that way. I'm going to go this way because this is more pleasing to my Father. And because it's pleasing to my Father, I know it's good for me. Because it'll invoke a blessing into my life when I please the Father. And that's not being covetous. It's because I have a covenant with Almighty God. So we give you praise and honor and glory and thanks in Jesus' name.